Who would you take in a five-game series, the 2019 Final Four team or this current 2025 basketball team? How many do we lose in the spring portal, if any? And what does Jani have to do to have his number retired? It's time for another barn takeover.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five. Happy Dadgum Thursday. It's time for a barn takeover where we take questions from thebarnauburn.com and feature those questions and those members on the show. So it's a lot of fun. My favorite point of the week, every single week. And I told them this week, let's spice it up a little bit. Let's go with some diabolical questions, scenarios. Would you want this? Would you want that? Just overall have some real fun with the questions. And we got some really good ones to jump into. So I'm going to go ahead without further ado. We're going to dive right in to the questions and have some fun. War Eagle, Y, short for Wyoming, king of the comments, king of the scenarios, king of the humor. You need to come check. He's worth admission. He's worth the $25 off your membership, your annual membership. So here's a question. Best of five series, current basketball team versus 2019 Final Four team. Also current team versus Barry Kessler team. He texted this to me at the beginning of the week, and I've been thinking about it all week. I really have. It's such a fun scenario to throw out there. There's so many aspects about that 2019 team to me that parallel this 2025 team. They had the swag. They played relentless defense. They did not. The only thing they lacked was size. They lacked the size, that the length that this team had. I think what we did, what Bruce did, was he was able to take the attitude and the shooting ability and everything that you could, I guess, not care, like not physical traits, but just like the mental characteristics of that 2019 team. And he found it and recreated it. He just got everybody taller in 2025. So, I mean, it's the closest thing that I've seen. I mean, they're good from the free throw line. They're good from three. They play relentless defense. So it's really, really tough. I think if I had to take a five-game series, I would take this team, 2020. I think the length would eventually win out. And if 2019 gets cold from three at all, which is tough, it would make them really hard to score. It'd be tough for them to score inside. So I think in a five-game series, I think length would win out in this 2025 team. 2024-2025 team would win the five-game series. If it's a one-game series, if it's a tournament game, I think I'd take Jared Harper and Bryce Brown. If I got to have one game series where anything could happen, it's hard to bet against those guys. It's hard to bet against Jared. It's hard to bet against Bryce. If I get a healthy Chuma, that's tough. I mean, that was just a really talented team. I got Samir coming off the bench. I think I would take them in a one game series, but I think length would win out. Length would win out in the five game series. So I think I'd take that team. Barry Kessler team. I've been trying to think who could guard Jabari. That team struggled a little bit late shooting. That's why ultimately we ended up, you know, having that early exit, because they just essentially decided we're not going to let Kessler clean it up and we're not going to let anybody score inside and just basically dare them to shoot it. And if Jabari beats us, I guess Jabari just beats us from three. but we're not going to give up them. We're not going to give up any points in the paint. So I think this team could do something similar, fairly easy. I think Janai could play pretty good defense on Kessler. Dylan could help as well inside. Chaney could help it well inside. So they would keep. I think they could help keep the paint clear and keep the points in the paint at a minimum, and then just let that team shoot. And Jabari may beat you, but over a 5-game series, I think this team would win out too. I think this team would eventually, over a 5-game series, they'd win that one too. So I think this is the best basketball team of the Bruce. I mean, easily of the Bruce era. It's not really that arguable. I would take in a 5-game series, I think this team would outlast any team Bruce has put on the court. This team might outlast like an all-star team. If you took like an all-star team of the Bruce teams, they might win in a 5-game series. It'd be tight, but they're really good. Great question. A lot of fun. I literally lost sleep thinking about that one. Let's go to the next one. This one's great too. D. Moultrie always asks great questions. We're 21-1. What's the hardest game left on the schedule? The easiest game left on the schedule? The biggest trap game left on the schedule, and give a prediction, possibility, probability that we go undefeated in conference. So let's look at the schedule. To me, it's pretty easy. The easiest game left on the schedule seems like it would be Arkansas at home on February 19th. So you got Florida this weekend. You got two road games, then you come back home, and you get Arkansas at home, who I think is only one conference game so far. Cal still trying to get it going at Arkansas, trying to, you know, get the momentum going. I will say this, Calipari teams get better as the year goes on. Traditionally, they struggle at the beginning of conference, and then you're always picking them as dark horses to win the conference tournament if they're not, you know, don't eventually become a top seed. Now, they've lost a lot early, so they've kind of knocked themselves out of getting into one of those top seeds in the tournament. But this is the part of the season when they start maybe kind of figuring it out a little bit. You know, they just went to Kentucky. They've won two in a row. Went to Kentucky, at Kentucky, won at Texas. They play Alabama coming up. So, I mean, it could be tricky, but I think as of now, that would probably be the easiest game left on the schedule. The hardest is easy. It's going to be at Alabama. The hype around that game is going to be huge. College game day is going to be there. Good chance you could have number one versus number two if both teams handle business. They're good. They're good, man. Like, no matter how bad we dislike Alabama, no matter how much we don't want them to be good at basketball, that's like our thing that we have had over them for a while. They're good, man. They're good and just as good. So I don't think necessarily one or the other has the upper hand. You just have two really good basketball teams. I think Auburn's team's a little bit more complete, but on the road is going to be tough. Borderline impossible. So if we go in there and pull out a win, it would be a huge accomplishment. Biggest trap game. I'm looking at Ole Miss at home on February 26th. You have two home games, Arkansas and Georgia. That's a midweek and a weekend game. Then you come back and you have Ole Miss midweek before you go to Kentucky. Probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, maybe 4-1 over that stretch. And you're about to go on two tough road games. Could you overlook that one a little bit? And Ole Miss, I know we just beat them at home. I beat them at their place and handled them fairly well. They're good. Padula's good. They can shoot the basketball. And if they get hot, they're tough to beat. They don't play spectacular defense, but I still think that would be a game. If the true definition of a trap game is probably losing one you shouldn't, because you're overlooking it to the next one. And no matter even though Kentucky is not necessarily, you know, Elite Eight, Final Four Kentucky, they're still getting better, and you're going to Lexington, which is always tough to play. So I'm going to say that's my trap game. And then percent chance we go undefeated in conference, I'm going to say one. It's just too tough, man. This conference is too tough, and you still have to go to Vanderbilt, to Alabama, to Kentucky, to Texas A&M. And then you got to play Alabama twice. And you got to play Florida this weekend. So it's just, golly, what a brutal schedule. I would say 1%, which is not a bad thing. Doesn't mean a bad thing. I think you may only lose two and you win the conference championship. So I'll take that. Great question. This one's truly diabolical. Bailey Coggins, he said this is his first question in a barn takeover. Which would you prefer happen to us? Go undefeated the rest of the season and play in basketball and lose the first round of March, or have another year of football like last year? He did add the caveat, if one or the other, if you choose one, the other one is elite. So in other words, if you choose the basketball one, Auburn has a really good football season. If you choose have another bad football season, the basketball team goes on a run. You know, not necessarily win a national championship, but Final Four, whatever. I don't know that I can stomach another 5-7 year. I really don't. If this question was asked year one, I would probably choose basketball. But I don't know that we want to live through what could possibly transpire and what could happen to the program if Auburn were to repeat at 5-7 or worse. I think you got to win. I think you got to win now. So as much as it would pain me, we'd still win the SEC championship. I assume if you go undefeated, you'd still win the SEC tournament championship. You wouldn't lose until, you know, the first round of the NCAA tournament, which would be awful because you're probably going to be the number one overall seed and you'd be the laughing stock and it would be tough, but you would have an SEC championship. You would have another regular season championship. You definitely would have the most regular season wins ever. I don't know that I can live through another. That was exhausting. That was exhausting. I mean, going the shows after losses, I just don't know that I can handle another one of those mentally. So I'm going to go with, I'm going to choose the first round exit for a chance for, you know, the chance at football glory. So, and hate me. If you disagree, you're lying to yourself. If you're an Auburn fan, let's just be real. Let me know what you think in the comments. What would you choose in the comments? Let's keep going. Asian guy 25. Hey, simple and easy. Easy to remember. I love it. How many defensive linemen, if any, do we get in the spring portal? I think at minimum, you need one. I think they try to get two. Your interior, you're good at end. You got, you're very deep at those end positions. Where you're not very deep at all is right there in the middle. You brought in Dallas Walker in the portal, who I think is going to be really good. But after that, you essentially have like freshmen, a lot of young guys. I think you need to get at least one more big guy, interior guy, that you can rotate with Dallas Walker because he can't play every snap. I mean, even last year, our nose, Isaiah Rakes, he didn't play every single snap. You had Jason Jones that could come in and play nose, and they rotated. I think you got to have a rotation there. And then do you try to take another one just for depth, you know, just a guy that if one of those guys get injured, I mean, that's a meat grinder right there in the middle. So I think you look at two, one minimum interior, possibly two. And then it wouldn't hurt my feelings if a really good end opposite Keldrick Falk appeared, you know, another one of those, you know, in between or 280, 290 pound guys, if a really good one appeared and you could get one, I wouldn't be opposed to it. But I think two interior guys, it would be kind of what they're looking at. So we'll see what happens. And then obviously, if you lose anybody, you would try to replace those. So that's something to keep in mind too. It's hard to know because you don't know who you're going to lose. And I think we're safe on the defensive line though. Kind of going on that same train of thought. Party Hardy 2856. Great name. Who are some guys you would put on transfer watch for the spring window for Auburn? I've said before, and I'm going to kind of stick to it. I don't typically like to call out people by name that I think are going to go into the portal. Okay. So I'm not going to do that, but I will tell you, I was shocked that there was two defensive backs. There were two defensive backs that I was pleasantly surprised that they did not portal. So could they still, you know, see where they fall on the depth chart and then test the water in spring? That would be something I would be looking at, you know, maybe a corner, maybe a safety. I'm looking at at least two defensive backs that, you know, I would put on sort of portal watch. And there was an offensive lineman too that I was kind of shocked did not portal. So we'll see how that shakes out in the spring. Again, those were guys that were rumored that were possibly going to enter, and they did not, which was a you know, pleasant surprise. But is it just that they want to go through spring, see where things shake out? I think that's probably a smart thing to do too. And then you'll have that 10-day window where they can jump in. I think you're good everywhere else. Running back could be one. You know, if they feel like, I mean, you got three really good running backs. I mean, you got Damari Austin, Jeremiah Cobb, Darrell Robinson. I mean, all those guys are going to want touches. All those guys have a lot of experience. I'm sure they don't want to, you know, sit much longer, if any. Could they test the waters if, you know, see how spring goes and shakes out? I'd be looking at maybe running back room. I don't know. That's just a guess. There's no intel there at all. I'm just thinking, you know, naturally as a college kid now, and just based off what I've seen. So I think those three position groups I'd be watching. I think you're pretty good everywhere else. I really do. Linebacker, you're going to have a lot of young guys that are going to get a chance to play. Defensive line, you should be good. Wide receivers, you should be good. I think you dodged the biggest bullets already there. I think you should be okay there. Quarterback, obviously, is going to be okay. I think everywhere else, I think I watch. Offensive line, there's one in particular. Defensive backs, two or three there that I'm watching. Again, just watching, not saying they're going in. And then maybe a defensive lineman. We'll see. Or sorry, running back. Apologize. Let's hit the next one. Rhett Lashley Burner. If injuries occur, which positions are the most vulnerable due to lack of depth? Whew. And how will the coaching staff address potential drop-offs in performance from backup players? I think the position that you're the most razor thin at, I've mentioned, is the interior defensive line. And that would be one that if Dallas Walker goes down, or, you know, Keldrick Falk were to get hurt, you have a lot of young guys that haven't played, that are talented. They just haven't got a chance to play much. So the defensive line, I feel like it has a lot of top end talent, but I'm worried about the depth a little bit there, which is why they're one of my position groups that you need to add a few guys in the portal. In the offseason, or in the spring portal. So I would say defensive line. And then how do you remedy it? You just got to get those guys more snaps. Springs are big. Springs are big as far as development goes, so that they're ready. And then maybe get a little bit more of a rotation going. I mean, they had a pretty good rotation last year on the defensive line. So I guess just making sure that those guys are understanding of their responsibilities and ready to go should they have to go in. I think you pretty much do that with every position. The idea, I know you're trying to you're trying, you can't totally address a drop off. Like you can't totally remedy a drop off because if there wasn't a drop off, the guy would probably be a starter already. So there's going to be a drop off. So it's like, how do you mitigate it? How do you make sure that it's not as bad? And I think the only thing you can really do is preparation and make sure that you have adequate depth so that, you know, maybe it's not you're dropping off, you know, from a one to a four, but maybe you have a one to a three or a one to a 2.5. If you're talking about your one is like your elite guy, and then you're not dropping off to like a guy that's just not an SEC player. I think that's the only thing you can really do. Injuries always scare me. This isn't really a question, but it's hilarious. Your boy George, not to be dramatic, but I would die for Denver Jones. You were right. When Denver gets cooking, you might as well pack up. Pack the bags. It's over. If Denver walks out and hits his first three or four shots, just forget about it. You're getting beat. I love it. I had to put that in there. I thought that was funny. I laughed. Bo knows. I love this question. Playing like we are right now, does the conventional wisdom of needing to lose a game or two apply? If we were not still playing defense at the level we're playing, I would say yes. If we were not playing just fervent, intense, frustrating, stifling defense every single week, I would say this team is taking things too lightly. They think they're too good. They need a reality check. You can't fake defense. You can't fake defensive intensity. You can't go through the motions on defense and hold teams to well under their season averages. So honestly, as long as they keep the defensive intensity up, I don't think they have to lose a game. I think they got their head in the right direction. The minute that teams start scoring, you know, 80 or 90 against us on a consistent basis, and, you know, we're not, you know, blocking shots and we're giving up easy baskets and we're blowing assignments and we're taking plays off on that side of the ball or that side of the court, I would say, you know, they may need a reality check. But the defensive intensity, it seems like it's way higher than offense every single game. So I definitely go there. And I don't know that losing makes you shoot better, but losing will wake your butt up on the offensive side of the ball, especially if somebody scores a ton of points on you. But, man, they just go play hard-nosed defense every single game. The intensity on the defensive side is insane. I don't know that losing is going to ratchet that up any. So I'm going to say no. I don't think they have to lose. I was talking about this the other day. I maybe thought that losing would be, you know, good for this team, but you just look at the way they play defense. I just don't think that's the case. What do you think? Do we need to lose a game between now and March to just sort of get everything back in line? I just don't think we do. D. Moultrie again. What does Janai have to do this season to have his jersey retired? I'm anti-retired jersey because I think you're missing an opportunity on a great recruiting tool. But I mean, he's kind of done a lot of the things. You're talking two-time All-SEC player. He was the SEC, I think, tournament MVP last year. He's going to be in the top 10, way up in the top 10 in scoring, blocks, and rebounds after this season. And then depending on, you know, he probably is going to be a player of the year or at least second in player of the year, going to be an All-American. It's really hard. I don't know what the qualifications are, but he's going to have a pretty good resume to do it. If we want to keep retiring numbers, I would say he's got a pretty good chance. I don't know that he has to do anything else. Just keep playing how he's playing, and he's going to have, you know, he's going to be in a good, you know, in that top 10 range in Auburn history as far as points, blocks, and rebounds. So I don't know that he has to do a whole heck of a lot more to get his jersey retired. An All-American would be huge, and obviously another All-SEC would be huge, and then, you know, whatever we do in the tournament. I think he's probably got the resume to go ahead and do it right now. So if we want to retire, keep retiring jerseys, I would say Janai is a pretty safe bet that it'll probably be retired. He's He's had a great career at Auburn, done great things. Probably one of the more impactful Auburn athletes. I don't want to say of my life. Probably one of the more impactful Auburn athletes of my lifetime, for sure. So, I think it's probably a safe bet. If we're going to keep retiring numbers, that would be one that's probably a lock to be retired. And then last one, if you could add one previous non-starter to our current basketball roster, who would it be? Now, I'm trying to decide if I want to cheat. a little bit because Samir came off the bench. Samir came off the bench on that 2019 team, and he would be another shooter that I think that would be really fun to come off the bench. Malik Dunbar would be another fun one coming off the bench that could play, you know, backup Chad. He never really started. He maybe started a couple of games, but he wasn't a full-time starter. So, but Samir became the full-time starter in that, you know, the team that never was. The COVID team that got shut down, that probably could have been another deep NCAA tournament team. But I'm gonna go with one of those two, Samir Malik. I think those would be fun guys coming off the bench on this team. So that's what I'm going with, guys. What a great show! What a great group of questions. It's always a lot of fun, and you can be a part of it too. Just got to sign up at thebarnauburn.com, take $25 off your membership, your annual membership for 2025, and jump in the message board, jump in the conversation, and then just overall have a blast. Love the conversation, love the game threads, love the recruiting threads, all that good stuff. A lot of fun. Appreciate it. We'll be back again tomorrow. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.